This podcast is produced by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President, simplifying a complex money world with investment programs to match a range of investment goals and life situations. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the May 17th edition of Invest Talk. I do appreciate you being with me. Above average investing for the average investor is what we talk about every day. Now, we've been talking about the coming volatility. What'd you think of today as far as volatility? Pretty big spike, don't you think? The market has been relatively flat for quite some time, and I've been writing about it and telling you about it that it won't last. Well, it doesn't. So, but does the thought of this increased volatility create stress for you or give you concern? Are you worried about the market right now because it went down so big today? Well, we're going to talk about that. Using volatility to your advantage with ETFs. That's going to be one of our talking points. It's kind of interesting because, you know, announcement is going to be our talking point today, yesterday. And here it is. We had a big volatile day today. Am I one day too late talking about it? But, you know, I've been warning you that this won't last for some time in my newsletters and in my market commentaries and on the radio here. And volatility, you know, the calmness we have just is too calm. So we welcome any of your questions, anything that you want to talk about, as long as it's financial. Our listen line is 888-99-CHART, and it's our anytime line. You can call anytime you want. We're live right now, Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 Pacific time. We would all welcome a set and forget investing tool or formula that would erase all the angst and worry of investing in the market. We love that. And whenever someone comes forward with one of those kinds of things, we discover there's lots of compromises involved. How about target-dated funds? We've talked about those in the past. That's a prime example. Target-dated funds, they're in your 401k mostly. Okay, and they have grown very popular in the past years. And the strategy is pretty simple. That's why everybody likes it. The assets in the fund line up and reallocate risk levels automatically as you approach your retirement date. For example, if you're planning to retire in 35 years, you would purchase a target dated fund of $20,045 or $20,050. And then the fund would allocate your money in high-risk stocks now. But in 20, 30 years down the road, it would then transition to lower risk equities, and mostly that means bonds. Okay, and to the average investor, this may seem pretty reasonable, a great way to, you know, not worry about reallocation. And the mutual fund industry loves these things because you never touch your money. They don't want you to touch it. They are pretty deceiving in many ways. For instance, as an example, have you seen a doctor prescribe drugs now based on what's going to happen 20, 30 years now? You are sick today. Here's the drugs. Does that mean you have the same sickness 20, 30 years ago now down the road? Constructing a portfolio for an individual is complex, and it changes as time goes. Because a person changes their age. Maybe they get more conservative as they get older. That's pretty typical. And some people are more conservative at a young age. Some people are more aggressive at an old age. You just don't know. And, of course, target dated funds ignore individuals completely. But one of the things, major reasons why I don't like target dated funds is that they completely ignore the environment, the investment environment they're in. For instance, if you had a target dated fund retirement now, target dated today, you'd be mostly in bonds right at the time when interest rates are the lowest, and bond funds work poorly when interest rates rise. We're going to have rising interest rates. The Fed has said so. So it ignores, target-dated funds ignore reality. That's one of the main reasons I don't like them. I don't really like them. Also, I don't like a fund that buys other mutual funds. It's a target-dated fund is a fund that buys funds. And, of course, there's fees. And yeah, they say they lower the fees. Yeah, but there's two of them. Now, do you have questions about target-dated funds? You can get through right now with any money questions you have. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's take this question that came in before today's program.
Hi, this is Will in Wisconsin. I have a question about when it's time to sell off my losing stocks. I have held two stocks in the energy sector for 3 years now, and both of them are down about 32% from when I bought them. I know I should have unloaded them a long time ago, but what would you recommend now? Should I let them go, or shall I wait until they recover some of their lost gains for me? Thank you, and I'll wait for your reply.
Okay. You know, that happens to a lot of people. Happens to me. We had a particular stock that we let run down too much before we got out. It happens. It happens. What you should do is now take a look at those positions with new eyes. Don't look at them, I've lost 30%, I'm going to wait till I get even, or wait till I have a recovery, then I'm going to sell them. Now look at them like, well, how good are they today? Forget about what you lost. If you're going to buy, if you didn't own this stock, would it be something you would buy today? So you look at the fundamentals, you look at the technicals now. Is this a stock you should be owning now, regardless of how much money you made or lost? Look at it at the time that you're deciding, and then write down what you want to do. For instance, you can write now, okay, this stock is really inexpensive. It has good growth. Write these things down. The dividend is pretty steady. I'm going to buy this stock because I love the dividend, and the prospects of growth of 5 to 10% over the next year or two are pretty strong. Write the reasons why you bought it. If those things don't happen, for instance, then maybe they cut the dividend. Maybe they don't grow. Then you get out, regardless of where the price of the stock goes. Because that's how you can avoid emotions. So your emotion right now is really involved because you lost so much money. So you're emotionally involved now, and you'll, even if you try not to be, you are, because it's real money, yours. So you are emotionally involved. But what you need to do is look at it with new eyes, like you're just doing it for the first time, and decide whether you should buy it. If you would buy it today, then of course you wouldn't sell it. But if you say, oh, I wouldn't buy this stock because the prospects don't look good, then of course you get out. Okay, hopefully that helps. Exchange-traded funds make it easier for investors to not only survive episodes of volatility, like market volatility we had today, but also you can thrive using volatility to your advantage with ETFs. And that's one of our talking points today. I'm also going to talk about why the market won't collapse, why it won't collapse even after today. Okay, why it won't collapse. Also, America is overrun by seniors. Why am I saying that? Well, because I'm one of them. I'm going to be one of them. I'll be 65 this year. We have 47 million 65 or older people right now. I got some interesting statistics I'm going to share with you. And do you want to rent your home while you travel? Maybe travel for 60 days, 90 days, go travel. And you want to rent your home? Well, I'm going to give you some things what to do before you do that. Some things you should be aware of. And those are going to be the talking points, but of course, what's on your mind comes first. So calls always come first. The Dow is down 370 points today. Biggest down day in what, 8 months, 9 months? Biggest day in a long time. The NASDAQ was down 158 and the S&P down 43 points. Now, I like to know these things in percentage. The Dow is down 1.8% this year. Today. The S&P was down 1.8% as well. So the Dow and the S&P were down the same amount. The NASDAQ was down 2.6% today. One day. That's how fast these things can happen. The market goes down a lot faster than it goes up. What's the old saying? The market crawls up a wall of worry, but when it falls like an elevator. Straight down. So we'll see what tomorrow brings. And that's really kind of important. Will there be a follow-through down day tomorrow, or will we get a bounce? And that kind of is important. If we get a bounce, then there's not much to do about this fall. But I will say this, the volume was pretty darn heavy today. Pretty heavy. for a down day. So that volume, a down volume on a down day on a big volume is a pretty negative. So let's see if it follows through tomorrow. Mind you, you know, the volume was bigger in late November than today. It's kind of interesting. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. For a list of books that can bolster your investing knowledge, for any level of investor expertise, visit our recommended book section at investtalk.com. Investtalk.com with two T's. You can see our picks for good reading. I read a lot. I have a lot of picks there. My book is there too, by the way. 888-99-CHARTER is our live listener line every weekday from 4 to 5 Pacific time.
Hey, Steve and Justin. I was just wondering what your thoughts were on HiMax Technologies, HIMX. They make a chip for augmented reality technology, and I was wondering what your thoughts were. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Okay, looking at both the fundamentals and the technicals, it's not a stock that I think I would consider. HiMax Technologies is a $1.1 billion stock. It's a Taiwanese designer of display drivers for thin film transit or flat panel LCD displays, including TVs and PC monitors. Why would I not consider it? Because it's so erratic. I mean, the earnings are erratic. The sales are erratic. I'm not comfortable with that. For instance, in 2014, it made 44 cents a share. That was the biggest year it had. Then the year after, it made 18 cents. 2016, they made 35 cents. This year, they're going to make 17 cents. Next year, they're going to make 23 cents. And sales, the most recent quarter, down 14%. Quarter before that, they were up 14%. It just seems so erratic to me. I am not comfortable owning it. Now, management owns 32%, which is very good. Return on equity is a little light at 13%. Pays a dividend of 2%, which probably is sustainable, because they have good sales. It's not like they don't. The technicals tell you that the stock is not really doing much. You know, it might go down to $5 and maybe up to back to $10, and it's going to be in that range. And today is at $6.54. But making 23 cents, that means the PE is pretty high for not very stable sales and earnings growth. Not for me. HiMax Technology, HIMX. Not for me. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Again, the market was down. The Dow was down 1.8%. So was the S&P, so the Dow and the S&P. But the NASDAQ was down 2.6%. And I'm repeating that because that's a fairly large number for one day. Just one day. And we have to watch tomorrow, see if we get a bounce. And the volume was pretty high. Remember, high volume on a move up or down tends to confirm the move. Confirm. Now, if you remember right, yesterday I was talking about IYT, which was a transportation index. And I said that was one of the reasons I am not comfortable with this market, because it's the IYT that usually confirms a bull market according to the Dow theory. And the IYT has been trading sideways since December. And sideways to down since December. And then, of course, it fell today. Does not give me comfort when it's not rising. This is InvestTalk, everybody. I'm Steve Peasley. 888-99-CHART. How to reach me right now. I'm live 4 to 5 Pacific time. Any money question is welcome, and you do it immediately. Okay, using volatility to your advantage with ETFs. There's lots of ETFs out, you know, thousands of, I don't know if there's thousands, maybe 1,000 ETFs, maybe that. And some of them can be used to help you fight or control or at least mitigate volatility. For instance, there's inverse ETFs. Inverse ETFs, that shorts the market. In one of our managed accounts, we have several of these on our books. We've had for a while, expecting the market to, you know, give back some of its gains, but also to protect it in case if the market runs up, fine, but you can buy short ETFs to hedge. We call it hedging against the fall. So those work. You can short the S&P. You could short, meaning that if the S&P goes down, these ETFs go up, if that shorts the S&P. There's one that shorts the Dow. There's one that shorts the NASDAQ. There's one that shorts the Russell 2000. There's a number of them. They short different indexes. They go in the opposite direction. Then there's volatility ETFs or ETNs. Now, we talked about those the other day, and I mentioned that these have tried to track the volatility index, but are not very successful. Yes, they'll spike up and spike down with the market, but over time, they lose value. And all you have to do is look at VXX, which is one of these ETFs that tries to track the volatility index. Take a look at the chart of that, VXX, and then take a look at the actual volatility index. Volatility index goes sideways at a certain low level, whereas this VXX keeps losing value over time. And there's reasons for it, but I'm just telling you, it's very difficult. Don't think it's just, I'll just buy this and then it'll work. Then there's low volatility ETFs, okay? These just don't go down as much or as up as much as their underlying index. And they do it different ways. But they're just meaning that they don't really go up or down with the market. And so what should you do? That's a hard decision. I told you what we did in one of our managed accounts. We used the short indexes to hedge our bets. But how much? I had this question the other day. Well, how much did you do? I won't give out that specific information because we save that for our clients, but you have to decide how much you want to hedge. And remember, time in the market does not work. It does not work. So don't think you can say, I'll just get in and then get out, then I'll get back in and get out. That doesn't work. It does. I mean, I can't tell you how strongly I want to tell you it doesn't work. You can't. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's get back to our 24-hour listener line, 24-hour a day, 7 days a week. 888-992-4278 is the number. Let's listen to this question.
Hi, I was just calling to ask a question about the ticker symbol GDX. I think it's a mining ETF. Just curious what your thoughts are on that ticker symbol, GDX. Thanks.
Okay, it's not a mining ETF. It's a gold mining ETF. Exchange-traded fund seeking performance corresponding to the New York Archer Gold Miners Index. Gold Miners Index, okay? So it's a little bit different than the actual gold, which is GLT. This is GDX. GLD tracks the price of gold at 10% of the value of gold. And this attracts the miners. Tracking the miners goes up and down much faster than the price of gold because of the mining. You know, it just moves up and down faster because of how investors react. So if you feel gold, the prices are going to go up, this would probably be a good ETF to be in. And of course, I don't know if you looked at it today. It was up nicely. Up 1.8%, which is about what the S&P 500 was down. Okay, now don't think it is always that way, because gold a lot of times tracks the dollar. If you were you've been watching dollars for the last 4 or 5 days, it's been falling pretty steeply. Today it only fell down two thirds of 1%. But yeah, if you were wanted to get into the gold miners and you wanted to do it in a way, a broad way, the GDX is a good thing to do. We happen to own a number of gold miners in one of our stock accounts. So, you had a good day. If you're looking at a chart of the dollar, and that's really important to watch. An ETF for that to watch is UUP, PowerShares, U.S. Dollar Index, Bullish Fund. That tracks the dollar against other currencies. And you'll see that ever since the beginning of this year, it has had lower lows and lower highs. Its dollar's a downtrend, despite improving economy. Isn't that interesting? So, and if the dollar's going down, gold generally goes up. Don't forget, we need you to do some of the talking, not just me. So let's hear your money questions or investing experience. I don't think you want to just hear me. This is Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
Invest Talk continues. First, a couple of words for KPP Financial and reason number two for a portfolio checkup with Steve. You need to rebalance your portfolio. Sure, everyone wants to buy a portfolio that grows like a weed. Reducing risk is the number one priority for everyone these days. In a low interest rate environment, you crave those great returns that stocks can give, but you're afraid of taking too much risk. So what's the formula? Steve says you need to rebalance your portfolio to match your risk tolerance. And Steve can help, and there's never any charge for a complete portfolio checkup for InvestTalk listeners, and no obligation of any kind. Schedule your one-to-one, one-hour checkup with Steve. Just go to InvestTalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab and then Portfolio Review, or call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. Now let's continue with the podcast. InvestTalk continues, a service of KPP Financial, for more than 20 years helping Americans plan their retirement years with confidence. Our InvestTalk Live listener line is open 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific, 888-99-CHART.
Hello, Steve. My question is, how do you decide when to put shorts on in this current market environment and which shorts to put on? And when do you decide to take these shorts off? Thank you.
A very difficult question. I've been saying for a while now, this lack of volatility is very scary and it won't last. Now, you don't know if it will end up making another run up or run down. You put on shorts or short like we have in our one of our stock managed accounts to protect against the downside, to hedge your bets after a good long run. And you just don't know when it will come in handy. That's why you never, ever get out of the market completely. You don't. You never get out of the market completely. You hold your core holdings. You never let them go. Or, you know, if you do, it's very, very reluctantly and replace with some other core holding. And when to get back in, when to get out of your shorts, well, we want a normal correction. That's what we want. That's what I'm looking for. What's normal? Well, historically, it's been about 10%. I would love a 10% correction. Then I start to get out of my shorts. Because I don't know where the bottom is when it happens. I don't. It could go down 20%. We could go to a bear market. I don't know. No one knows. But I do know that historically, a 10% correction is normal in a bull market. We're still in a bull market. If we get a 10% correction, you get out of your shorts, and you might be wrong. I might be wrong. Don't know. I wish there was some magic thing. There isn't. There isn't. It's experience. You know, just knowing how markets react and not being too, you know, don't get in all the way, don't get out all the way, paying attention to valuations, paying attention to charting, pay attention to the economic environment you're in, all those things, the political environment you're in. Look at the politics going on and how it's driving market. Why did the market go down today? It was all about politics, nothing else. There was no reason for the market to give up this much as it did today. It's politics. Let's go to Bobby in Atlanta. How you doing, Bobby?
Hey, Steve. Good. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Hey, Seagate. Do you think it's a good entry point to buy some SPX?
Is that Seagate?
I think so, isn't it?
Yeah, hold on. I'll punch it in here. I'm a little behind on my times here. Yeah, Seagate Technologies. They manufacture hard disk drives for the enterprise, desktop, mobile computing, and consumer electronics market. Sales have been shrinking up until the most recent quarter. It grew 3% in the most recent quarter. Before that, the quarter shrank 3%. Before that quarter, 4%. Before that, 9%. So a year ago, it shrank sales 20% or so. So it looks like it's turned itself around and, in other words, stopped shrinking. Okay? It's going to make $4.63 next year. It's a $42 stock. So that's under 10 PE. And the five-year PE range is 3 to 16. So you would think 10 would be cheap, but not for this stock necessarily. Had a very good return on equity, 30%. And has a very good dividend yield. You want to buy it on weakness. So I would say, Bobby, I would say you want to buy it on the current weakness that you're seeing. You might want to see, so follow the market. If the market keeps falling, this may keep going down. But wait, if you see a decent correction in the market, that's when you would buy Seagate. I think the numbers looks like they're starting to turn around. They have a little too much debt for my comfort, but, you know, take a look at his competitors, Western Digital, and make sure you're picking the best one of the group, okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Bobby. Appreciate it. Let's go to Mike in San Jose. How you doing, Mike?
Good, thank you, Steve. I was wondering if you'd look at the VRX chart and give me an opinion, please.
Sure. It looks like the chart has shown clearly that the stock has bottomed. It's put in a bottom. Okay. VRX is Valeant Pharmaceuticals. Excuse me. They put in a bottom probably, was it, about $9 a share? $8 a share. And now today is at 13. So I can tell you the chart itself fell all last year. And it has put in a bottom. Now, it would not be uncommon, Mike, for it to retest that bottom. Okay? So wait for a pullback and see. And if when there's a steep move like that, I don't know how many people know what Fibonacci numbers are. But I would, I can tell without even putting the Fibonacci bands on here that this will probably retrace about anywhere from 33 to 66%, and that's where you'd want to buy it when it retraces, not now, okay?
And where would that dollar amount be on retrace at 33?
Probably, let's see, 8 to 12, 13 is 5.73. Probably around 10-ish, 10 to 11, 10, 10-ish, around that number.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'd put the Fibonacci numbers on this, but I wouldn't. It takes me a little bit more time than that, and I got enough charting points that I'm looking at. But it's very common to do those Fibonacci retracements. I like Fibonacci retracements. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Why the market won't collapse. There's a number of reasons. First of all, there's full employment. Matter of fact, employment numbers, unemployment's going down still. The economy is gaining strength from Q1 to Q2. We already seen that. There's very low inflation. Interest rates are still very low, even though the Fed is starting to raise them. I don't think there's fear that Trump's tax cut is in jeopardy or his spending plan. But there's going to and less regulation, but that's just fear for the short term. Those things probably will still get done. And I read today that everybody's trying to compare it with the Nixon presidency, and that's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. During the Nixon years, when he was quitting, and he was having all these bad press. This bad press is much to do about nothing, in a lot of ways. But in Nixon's period, the market collapsed 45% because the economy was falling. It was shrinking. It was getting weaker. It was going just the opposite. So don't the comparisons are stupid, is what they are. This is not then. So I don't think we're going to see a bear market as long as the economy is gaining and we still have full employment and economic numbers look pretty decent. There has to be a downturn into recession, toward recession. We don't, then that's not there. It's not happening. So there's a reason not to panic. And I have a feeling you'll see the market rebound. I don't know where from. I would like a really health restoring correction. I really would. That'd make me feel very good. But you know, you don't get what you want. Market, the market has a habit of doing whatever it wants to do. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. What do you want to talk about? What's on your mind? How about Time for Invest Talk Personal, about the day-to-day money decisions that have lasting impact? Scams that just don't die. We talk about scams. I talk about scams a lot because they happen a lot, and they're still around, especially the grandparent scams. You know this one where someone calls an elderly person and talks about his or her grandchild or niece or nephew or in trouble and they need money to get out of trouble. Very common. Warn your parents and warn yourself about those. The IRS phone calls. IRS does never calls you. So if you get a call from the IRS, you know it's fake immediately. I've gotten half a dozen of those in the last 6 months. The IRS never makes a phone call. They don't call you. All right, how about the Microsoft Support Center scam? Very common, in which, you know, they call you up and tell you, or they send you an email saying, you know, we're from the Microsoft Support Center because they know you have, you know, Microsoft operating system, and we're here to help you because we want you to warn you against, you know, malware that may be downloaded. And they're the ones that are doing it. Because you let access into you let them have access to your computer. Those are some very common ones out there. Now, if you have questions on this topic or any other money matter, please get through to us at 888-99-CHART. You can also send me a note, and I will promise to get back to you. You can send it to me directly. Just click on Contact Steve on InvestTalk.com.
Steve sets aside time each month to talk with listeners on a one-to-one basis, offering a second opinion about their retirement portfolio, offering some ideas and solutions. It can be done on Skype or telephone from anywhere in the U.S. And if you live in Southern California, Steve will be meeting with listeners at our Dana Point office on May 25th. And if you'd like to reserve your hour with Steve, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab and then Portfolio Review.
Hello, Steve or Justin. This is Matt in Columbus, Ohio, listening on iTunes. Wondering if you could give me your opinion on Coca-Cola, symbol K-O. Thank you.
Okay, you know, K-O is an icon of blue chips, of the blue chips. It's a $187 billion company. Manufactures non-alcoholic beverages, concentrates, syrups, solids to bottles, fountain, wholesalers, water, juice, you name it. They do it. Okay, in the drinking industry. They pay a 3.4% dividend right now. They're going to make $1.98 next year after making $1.88 this year, after making $1.91 last year and $2 the year before. So their earnings are not that stellar. What they are is steady. Sales have been falling for 2 years. Now, not by a lot, but most recent quarter, they fell 11%. But before that was in the mid-single digits every quarter for almost 2 years. They had to turn that around, that's for sure. But Coca-Cola is one of those companies that are, you know, good for blue chip. It's a core holding. But what you want to do, you don't want to buy it here. Don't want to buy it here. It's up today, by the way, 8 cents. Did you know that? Up 8 cents today in a very big down day. But you don't want to buy it here because not that long ago, it was around $40 a share. It hit $40 a share in December. It hit $40 a share again in February. And today is $43.93. So I would definitely wait till it gets down to, you know, at least $41 or so. Now, that's only 5%, 6%, 7% retracement. But you could buy it here and just hold on to it forever if you promise me you'll do that. You could buy it here. You promise to put it in a drawer, never sell it. Coca-Cola is a core holding. You just don't worry about it. Core holdings are always best to buy in a recession. But recessions are not that common. We don't have them that often. But they're always best to buy. And that's when everybody doesn't want to be in the market in a recession. Kind of counterintuitive there. America is being overrun by senior citizens. I'm one of the ones that's overrunning it myself. 47 million people age 65 or older exist here in the United States. And by 2060, that will double. that will be it will double. 94 million. 10,000 new every day. 10,000 baby boomers turn age 65 every day, and that's going to continue until 2030. 2030, 10,000 a day. Okay, is that bad? Is those numbers bad for the economy, bad for the stock market? And see, this is what really irritates me about statistics. You read these statistics and everybody will go, wow, that's a lot. Oh, my, that's terrible. Is it really? Well, how much of the population does that make up? Well, 18% will be over 65 or over. 18. And that's by 2030. 18%. How much? Is that a lot? Well, I can tell you Japan is way more than that. Okay. China is going to be way more than that. I don't think this is all that terrible. It is a kind of a high number. And remember, we need younger people coming into the workforce to support those old people that are collecting Social Security, right? We need it. So I'm not sure how bad this is, but you as investors, you might want to consider what kind of investments these senior citizens, what kind of investments would most benefit from this many senior citizens, right? It's a theme. You always want to think about themes, different themes for investing. And that's one of the themes, investing for the senior citizen crowd. They're going to spend money. What are they going to spend money on? Drugs, health care, vacations, entertainment. You know, that kind of stuff. You got to think about it. What would they spend money on? Very interesting, huh? Now, before the end of the show, we're going to have one more talking point that I want to touch base with, and that's about renting out your house. You know, where you go on long-term vacations, rent out your house. What you should think about. You listen to Invest Talk, everybody, and your calls, questions, comments go right to the head of the line. So we'd love to hear from you. Our number is 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Give us a call. You're listening to Invest Talk.
Hi, this is Gary. I listen to your podcast, and I'd like to know what you think of ExxonMobil. Thank you.
I like ExxonMobil. It's a big blue-chip company. It's very safe, secure, pays a 3.8% dividend. You know, what's there not to say? It's a $347 billion company. Sales have turned around recently. For instance, last quarter, the sales grew 30%. Quarter before that, they grew 2%. And all the quarters before that, for 5 or 6, they shrank. So they've turned that around. And, of course, they're going to be subject to the price of oil. So if the price of oil holds up, and I think it probably will, this would be a good place to buy it. I would be a buyer of ExxonMobil. If, you know, remember, it's just a core holding. 3.8% dividend yield. You can make that money forever. 3.8% a year is better than how much money do you make in money market. Yeah, you have to ignore the volatility. But ExxonMobil was a $90, $91 stock back in December and then back in last July. And it's fell down to 80, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times since that time. Here it is at $81.99 today. It was down, wasn't that down? It was only down about 0.6%. So remember, the market was down huge, 1.8 for the S&P and the down, 2.6% for the NASDAQ. So it fell only a fraction compared to the rest of the market. So I kind of like it for a blue chip stock. Now, of course, you know, I would love to buy it when it's cheap, but I don't know how cheap is cheap. You know, it will get cheap in a recession, but if you're going to buy ExxonMobil, you just hold it. You hold it for a long time, years and years and years and years. Okay, do you want to rent out your house while you travel? You want to go for 60 days? Here's some things you need to know. You need to know these things. First, make sure you remove personal items. Declutter your house. Take clothes out of the dresser drawers. You got to leave from the people who are going to rent it, right? Take all the food out. Take out anything of value that you don't want to leave there. Move maybe area rugs that you don't want to get stained up. Protect furniture. Maybe get some mattress pads, some slip covers. You got to protect all the stuff you want to protect and do it beforehand, because it's going to cost. There's going to be wear and tear. A renter is not going to care nearly as much. And you should always have someone watching the house. Maybe have your cleaning person that comes in once a week, or your gardener, you know, to keep an eye on the house and update you what's happening. Because remember, you're traveling. Notify your home insurance company. They're going to charge you for renting your house, by the way, because it's a homeowner's policy. You're supposed to be in it. It's usually about a 25% surcharge on your homeowner's policy. But you better notify them. And make sure you get a security deposit. You know, security, 1 month's rent, 2 months' rent, whatever it is, whatever the market will bear, because there's going to be damage. Chances are very high. And finally, you want to treat this kind of as a business, you know, that you're renting your house. It's a rental unit. Treat it as a business. Excuse me. Be very careful. Think about the income versus, you know, how much is it going to, what if they damage pipes? You don't know what renters are going to do. You could have some really great renters or not so great. And, you know, there's a house swapping that goes on. Have you heard about this? I'm sure many of you, almost all of you have. Where you can swap, live in their house and they live in your house. For instance, maybe you want to go to England for 2 months for the summer. Well, you can find a house swap for someone in England, and they live in your house, you live in their house. They swap. I think that's actually a pretty good idea, because both of you have concerns about your properties, right? And there's agencies that check it out, you know, check out each of the people who are swapping to try to ensure some degree of safety. So I kind of like the idea. The concept is attractive to me. So anyway, some things to think about if you're going to rent out your place. We spent an hour already, everybody. I thank you for listening and joining in. You can reach me directly with a question or a comment. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve. That's an email that comes directly to me, and I will answer your email. I promise. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, thanks for being with me today. And let's do it again on tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.